A moment ago, while the choir was going over that song, I told them they had best quit before I started to preaching there. It made me feel good all over, better than anywhere else. I love good singing, and I appreciate the musical ministry of our church and for the way it's operated and conducted. This last week, it was our privilege to attend the Baptist Fellowship of Texas. With something over 100 preachers attending, we had a wonderful time together, a great meeting, and we're looking forward to greater things in the days ahead from these fellowships as the Lord blesses and brings greater and newer heights to His work, not only here, but around the world. Now this morning, I want you to turn with me to the book of Ephesians. Chapter 5 in the book of Ephesians, and I'm going to read as our scripture lesson for this morning, beginning at verse 14. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 14, 15, and 16, out of which verse will come the text for my message. Ephesians 5, right after we pause in a moment of prayer. Our Father, we are thankful again today for this wonderful beginning of the fall season. And we're thankful for the opportunity to open Thy Word in this worship service. And now we pray for every person here, every man, woman, boy, and girl. May we all recognize that this is the house of the Lord. And this is the day that the Lord hath made. Help us, we pray, to be glad and rejoice in it. And now, Heavenly Father, we ask Thy blessings upon the reading of Thy Word, the preaching of the gospel. In Jesus' name we ask it, and for Jesus' sake, and with thanksgiving. Amen. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 14. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. I want you to read with me verse 16. That's our theme for the Sunday school. This is the initial beginning of the Sunday school year. I want all of you to read Ephesians 5, 16 with me aloud. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Well, I believe this passage of Scripture that we have read could well serve as the Christian's alarm clock. God did something for me that I don't think He has done for a whole lot of people. But God has given me a built-in alarm. Our alarm is set to ring at 5:30 every morning, 7 mornings a week. But I always wake up before the alarm ever goes off. And then I have church members to tell me that they slept right through their alarm on Sunday morning. Thank God for a built-in alarm clock. Well, I'm convinced in the words of this text, Awake thou that sleepest, is written to Christians. Amen. Not to the unsaved, but to Christians. Amen. You know, we go to the Cotton Bowl and we holler and scream and we rouse everybody around us, and then we go to church and sit down and go to sleep. Amen. I believe that there ought to be just as much life in the worship service as there is in a football game.
Amen.
God is alive. And God wants us to be alive. Awake, thou that sleepest, and Christ shall give thee light. I've shared this story with you, but I think it's so wonderful at this point. You've heard it many times before. But maybe some of you were asleep during that time, so I repeat. There was a farmer who lived way back in the woods. And he had a great clock, one of these that chimes, you know, 1, 2, 3, 4, for the hour. Well, the clock got out of order, and so he took it to the clock repairman, brought it back, put it in its place, went to bed. Well, he had his own built-in alarm, too, because he was awake when the clock started striking, and he heard it strike one. Well, that wasn't, there was nothing strange about that. And then it struck two, and on it went. And early in the hours of the morning, he heard it begin to strike, and it struck 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. And by the time it reached 16, he was out of the bed and hollering to the boys, "Get up, boys! It's late and I have a note it to be." Well, ladies and gentlemen, I stand before you not as an alarmist, but as a preacher of the gospel of the grace of God to tell you it is later than I've ever known it to be. It is later in your life. You are nearer the end of your life today than you were yesterday. If you are past 23 years and 4 months of age, you have already lived one-third of your allotted time. If you are 35, you've lived a half of your allotted time. If you are 52 years, 6 months, you have already lived three-fourths of your allotted time. It is later than we think, much later. The hour of the coming of the Son of Man draweth nigh. We must learn to redeem the time because the days are evil. My message this morning is entitled, Redeeming the Time. If there is one thing that governs our lives, it is the clock. We have at all times an awareness of what time it is because our schedules are so governed by time. When you were born, some of you back before the days that they were keeping birth certificates, maybe. But for the most of you, when you were born, there was registered the hour that you discovered the world. When they started to feed you, they fed you according to a time schedule. When they gave you a bath, they bathed you according to a time schedule. When they gave you medicine, it was by the clock. It was according to a time schedule. When you started to school, you answered the bell that rang, the first bell of the school day. And then there came recess, and another bell rang. And I confess to you, the first day I went to school, when the recess bell rang, I went home. Well, I thought it was all over. And then the lunch bell. You ate your lunch by a bell, by a clock, by the time. You went back into your classroom. Then you waited impatiently for that last bell of the day to ring so you would be out and free again. When you started to work, and you still do. There are not many jobs where a man can just go when he wants to and leave when he wants to. He starts out by a clock, and most people finish by the clock. You go to bed by the clock. You get up by the clock. You eat your meals by the clock. When you die, they will register the time of your death. And the funeral director will call my office and give me the time of your funeral service. So from the cradle to the grave, we are governed by time. We ask many familiar questions about time. How many times do you suppose you hear during the day, "What time is it? How much time do we have left? Have I got time to go to the store and back? Do we have time to go to this place or that place or do this or that or the other?" We are governed by time. We speak of being on time. We speak of being behind time. We speak of being in the nick of time, of losing time, of gaining time, of marking time, of wasting time, of killing time. And I suppose if there's any such thing as killing time, we all are murderers. Let me suggest, if you have any time to kill, work it to death, please. Time is all about us. Someone might ask, but how long has there been time? Well, we cannot answer with any degree of accuracy or satisfaction that question, except to say, the creation as we know it from Adam to this moment has been about 6,000 years. Before that, in the eons and ages of time, we cannot count. We do not know. Someone has written, little drops of water, little grains of sand, make the mighty ocean and the pleasant land. Thus the little minutes, though humble they be, make the mighty ages of eternity. Every moment that you live is important. Someone has observed, if you want to become a man of the hour, you must learn to make every moment count. Time is of the essence. Time is too slow for those who wait. It's too fast for those who fear. It's too long for those who grieve. It's too short for those who rejoice. You know, time is the most precious commodity that you have today. In fact, time is so precious that God gives it to us a minute by a minute. Yea, even a second by a second. How much time do you suppose we waste in a day's period? I mean when we just absolutely don't do anything. We don't think, we don't write, we don't walk, we don't work, we don't act, we don't eat, we are not asleep. We just don't do anything. I repeat, if we are to become men and women of the hour, we must make every moment count. I do not believe there is any time in the waking day that I don't know what time it is, and a lot of times during the night when I ought to be asleep, I know what time it is. I don't want time to get away from me. I read a story about a man in England who had his clock 20 minutes behind everybody else because in 1922 they ran the time up 20 minutes in England. And he just was so stubborn, he was 95 years old and he just kept his at the old time. He lost 6 jobs because he never could get to work on time. But you know what he said when he was 95 years old? I'll get even with him. When I die, I'll be dead 20 minutes late. That's the way a lot of people operate today. But listen, I have only just a minute, just 60 seconds in it. Forced upon me, can't refuse it, didn't seek it, didn't choose it. I must suffer if I lose it, give account if I abuse it. Just a tiny little minute, but eternity is in it. It's the minutes of the day that count. And we have an appointed time to live upon this earth. In the prayer of Moses, Psalm 90, we read, "The days of our years are 70 years and 10. And if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is our strength labor and sorrow. For soon it is cut off, and we fly away." I say we have an appointed time, an appointed hour, an allotment upon the earth. Someone has divided man's allotment into the following categories: the tender teens, the teachable 20s, the tireless 30s, the fiery 40s, the forceful 50s, the serious 60s, the sacred 70s, and the aching 80s. Some people ache long before 80. Life has its appointment. There is a time. There is an allotted time, an appointed time upon this earth. There's a common expression that we've all used sometime in our life. We have more time than money. I wouldn't be too sure about that. I don't know how broke you are or how much money you have, but don't be too sure that you have more time than you do money. There's not a person here this morning, right now, there's not a person in the world that can guarantee that you can live one more second. Yesterday is gone. It's like a canceled check. It's over. It's finished. It's through. Tomorrow is like a promissory note. And you know, and I know, that a promissory note is no good until it's paid. That leaves only today, now, this hour, this moment, this second. The poet said, "Life is a story in volumes 3, the past, the present, and the yet to be. The first is written and laid away. The second we are writing every day. The third and last of the volumes 3 is locked from sight, and God keeps the key." Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. The Bible speaks a great deal about time. In fact, in the book of Ecclesiastes, we read there's a time for all things. A time to be born, a time to die. A time to rejoice, a time to weep. A time to build, a time to pull down. A time to gather in, a time to scatter out. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. And on the list goes. There is a time for all things. I read in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 1 that now is the day of salvation. Today is the day of salvation. In our world, there are 24 time zones. But whether or not it is 5 o'clock in Tokyo or 10 o'clock in New York, in every time zone of the world, the time is now. This moment. This second. Right now is the time. I read in Psalm 89 and verse 47, "Remember, O Lord, how short my time is." Wait a minute. What if the doctors told you today that you only had 24 months to live? 12 months. 6 months. Perhaps he would even narrow it down to 24 hours. What if you knew that you only had 24 hours to live? I believe most of you would be back in church tonight. I might have your funeral this week, so you might just better be in case. You see what I mean? Lord, remember how short my time is. Mrs. Hardesty, you will pardon this personal reference, but on a given Sunday a few weeks ago, Jake Hardesty sat right over there where he's been sitting for almost 17 years. And Monday afternoon, in just a little while, it was all over. Remember how short the time is. Today is the day of salvation. Psalm 90 and 12, we have this prayer, Lord, teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts unto wisdom. Hosea 10, 12 says, it is time to seek the Lord. Not tomorrow, mister. Not in revival in November or harvest in October, but today it is time to seek the Lord. I believe I could enlarge upon that to tell you that it is time for America to seek the Lord. It is time for our nation to have revival, because we're entering the day when judgment will be overripe. It's time to seek the Lord. It's time to be right with God. It's time to join the church. It's time to win the lost to Christ. For our time is very short. I read in Romans 13, 11, and knowing the time, it is high time that we awake out of our sleep. I read in 1 Corinthians 7, 29, these words, listen to them. The time is short. When we were on vacation, I get carried away when I get a camera in my hands. I just flat don't know when to stop. We were riding along and my wife was driving, and I saw on a building pointing toward the sky three words. The last chance. And I snapped a picture of it. And my wife said, why are you wasting these slides? But you know, that one picture stands out more than almost any other picture we've taken. The last chance. Folks, I'm not an alarmist, but I don't know when I enter this pulpit that I am preaching my last message. I don't know when you hear a sermon, you've heard your last sermon. It might be the last chance for somebody here this morning. I read in the Revelation 1:13 that the time is at hand. And folks, you know one thing? Listen to me. There's coming a time when there shall be no more time. When the Lord Jesus stands with one foot upon the earth and one upon the sea, and he declares that time shall be no more. Oh, I tell you today that we ought to heed the words of Jesus, who said, work while it is day, for the night cometh when no man can work. I think this is a classic statement. I read it some time ago and it stuck in my mind. We have all eternity to celebrate our victories, but only a short while to win them. All eternity to celebrate the victory, but only a few hours before darkness to win them. My text says, redeeming the time. Two questions about that. First of all, what does it mean to redeem the time? Well, the word redeem in the Greek is ex agorezo, which means to buy up. So when Paul said redeem the time, the kairos in the Greek, here is what he said. Buying up the time to do good. We don't have much time left to do good. Let us then be resolved this morning that we will redeem the time. We will buy up the time to do good while we have opportunity to do it. You might ask in the second question, but how can I redeem the time? And I offer three suggestions. First of all, I believe you can redeem the time by investing it wisely. Ralph Waldo Emerson said, this time, like all times, is good if we know what to do with it. Let us suppose for just a moment that every minute that you have is $1. That means in an hour, $60. In a day, $1,440. In a week, $10,000. In a year, $520,000. In the normal lifespan of 70 years, that means, get it now, $36,400,000. That's a lot of money. But you know one thing? We can't put a price on a minute. It is worth far more than $1. For many people, a minute has meant $1,000,000, loss or gain. When the stock market started to fall, then men started to jump out the window, kill themselves, that long, and all their wealth was gone. There's one thing about it, when you don't have much and the market falls, it doesn't hurt you much. That's insurance. Insurance against getting hurt. But what I'm trying to put across is this, that your moments are far more valuable than a dollar. And your life is far more valuable than $36,400,000. For the life that you know on this earth now is just one segment of eternity, and you will live forever. The reason I know it's far worth far much more, Jesus Christ gave all that he had for you. You can't put a premium, you can't put a purse, you can't put a price on the blood of the Son of God. If you lose 1 hour in the morning, you'll be looking for it all day. It's an hour lost. It's an hour that cannot be regained. Secondly, I suggest that you redeem the time by using it to help others. On one occasion, Jesus said to his disciples, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me to drink. When I was in prison, you came and visited me. And right there, one of his disciples interrupted him and said, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you? Lord, when did we see you thirsty and give you to drink? As though they might have bought those first two, but then, Lord, when did we see you in prison and come and visit you? Do you know what Jesus answered? He looked over that crowd that was about him, and Jesus said, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of these my little ones, you've done it unto me. You see, you can't help a fellow human being without honoring Christ. When's the last time you visited a poor soul in prison or gave a cold drink of water or a loaf of bread in the name of the Savior. Inasmuch as you do it unto one of these, my little ones, you do it unto me. That's redeeming the time. And there's a third way. You can redeem the time by serving God through the ministry of the church. Now, I believe with all of my heart that God has put one organism in this world to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth. And that is the church of the living God. One agency to preach the gospel, just one. And that's the organism that Jesus died for. The church of the living God. Now some of you are not going to appreciate this, but this isn't the first thing I've ever said that you didn't appreciate. Next week, Billy Graham is coming to Dallas. Let me say that I believe Billy Graham has done a marvelous work. He's won many people to Jesus. There's no question about it. But he and I have to part ways on one score, chiefly at this hour. Dr. Billy Graham has endorsed the Jesus movement, the Jesus freaks. And your pastor does not endorse them. Amen. And I'll give you two reasons why I do not endorse them. Number one, they humanize Jesus. They make him a man and nothing more. And number two, the Jesus movement is against the church of the Lord Jesus. Now they talk about loving each other and having their church in the world. God has ordained the church. I mean the organized church, the organism, the thing that you're in this morning, to carry his gospel around the world. And I cannot endorse the Jesus movement, the Jesus freaks. I've got a commission through this church to carry out the gospel. And that's what I intend to do. You can serve him by using your time and your strength in the teaching ministry of our church. You can serve him by using your time to enlarge our visitation evangelism ministry. You can serve him by using your time to further the musical ministry. Oh, there are a thousand ways that you can use your time to serve him. Redeeming the time. Let me say to you this morning, if you have a work to do, do it now. If you have a soul to win, win that soul now. If you have a wrong to right, right it now. If you have money to give, give it now. If you have a place to fill, fill it now. If you have a confession to make, make it now. If you have a prayer to pray, pray it now. Redeem the time. Buy up the time to do good. The last part of my text says, because the days are evil. I don't have to tell you that we're living in evil days. In 1970, 40,000 people committed suicide in the United States. 10,000 college and university students attempted suicide, and 1,000 of them succeeded. In Fort Worth, in our city, the first 6 months of this year, 5,354 people were arrested for intoxication in our city in 6 months of this year. One out of every four marriages is ending up in the divorce court. A major crime is committed every 10 seconds. Homes are breaking up. Families are breaking up. These are evil days. These are the last days. Yet, I believe they can be for us days of opportunity. I believe the greatest days of our church is in the future. We can make these days days of revival and rejoicing. We can do it by, first of all, rededicating our lives to the service of Jesus Christ. We can do it by redoubling our efforts to win souls to Him. We can do it by rebuilding the altars that have been torn down. The altar of worship. The altar of family devotion and family prayer and family worship. Too many of those altars are broken down today. We can do it by reaffirming our faith in the Bible as the Word of God. We can do it by rekindling the fires of revival and the first love that God put in our hearts when we were saved. Redeeming the time. Buying up the time. Why, preacher? Because the days are evil. Let us stand for our prayer. Our Father, we thank Thee this morning for the Lord Jesus. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity to serve Him. We thank Thee, Heavenly Father, for the ministry of the church in the world today. And we're glad that Thou hast given us this time, this crucial time, this allotted time, this definite period of time to serve Thee. Dear God, we pray if there be those without the Savior this morning that they might come to trust Him. If there be those here this morning without the assurance of their salvation, may they come and have that assurance. If there be those, Heavenly Father, here today who need a church home, may they come today and identify with Worth Baptist. If there be those, Heavenly Father, who are here today who need a prayer from their hearts to be lifted to Thee at this altar, a prayer of revival, a prayer of awakening, a prayer of dedication, may they come this morning. And may we, in the beginning of this fall season, rededicate our lives, rebuild those broken down altars, reaffirm our faith in Thy Word, the Bible, as the truth. Rekindle the fires of first love in our hearts. This is our prayer. These are our petitions, and we ask them in Jesus' name and for His sake.